This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game. It's right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, joining us right now, as promised, Mark Zuckerman, who's been covering this team for a long period of time, a big part of Mike Rizzo's tenure for sure, and Davey Martinez's entire tenure. Mark can be followed on X on Twitter at Mark Zuckerman. He follows and covers and reports on the team for Mass and Sports, and also has a Nats Chat podcast, which you can find anywhere you get a podcast with our good friend Al Galdi. So, first question is, this seemed like it was a possibility a few weeks ago during the 11-game losing streak. Why now?
You know, I think that we know you've followed the Learners long enough to know that they don't really make spur-of-the-moment decisions. They drag things out. So my guess is that the process probably started back then, and they didn't go through with it at the time, but probably had it on their mind and wanted to see how these next few weeks went. They played better on the road trip, and they actually just won 2 out of 3 against the Tigers, a very good team. And then the Red Sox series this weekend, first two games they get blown out. And I feel pretty comfortable saying they probably had made the decision before yesterday's game. I don't think it was a reaction to the loss yesterday. I think they just got to a point that said, this hasn't been good enough. And, you know, both Martinez and Rizzo had contract options that had to be picked up at some point this month. They probably had come to the conclusion that they weren't going to do that. So are you going to go through the rest of the season with them as lame ducks, or are you going to go ahead and make the move now? I kind of thought it wouldn't happen till the end of the year, maybe around the All-Star break if you want to make a managerial change. I really didn't think they would make a GM change in the middle of the season. But they probably just reached a point that they said, we think we're going to be making some pretty big changes anyways. Let's go ahead and do it now.
Is the timing, Mark, hurtful because the draft is in a week, helpful, or is it benign?
You know, I don't know that it matters as much as the initial reaction, of course, is like, oh my God, they just fired their GM a week before they have the number one pick in the draft. And this is not just any GM, but a guy whose background is all in scouting and, you know, had been a huge part of the evaluation process there. But having said that, number one, my guess is they've already had the discussions and are pretty sure who they're going to pick anyways. So I don't know that it changes a lot there. The scouting department is still intact, and those are the guys who are going to make the call. I don't know that Mike DiBartolo, who takes over as interim GM, is going to get in their way and try to say he thinks they should take somebody else than they would want. So I don't know that it makes a huge difference in that regard. And then there's maybe something to be said for this. One of the reasons Mike Rizzo is not employed today is when you look back at their last decade, really even more than a decade, of drafting, they have not done a good enough job of developing good quality big leaguers. You know, forget about even star players, but just good quality big league players. The last homegrown draft pick who has gone on to give them at least four career WAR for the Nationals, and that's not a very low number. Four WAR is not much. That's like one good season. The last one to do that is Anthony Rendon in 2011. So if one of your reasons for changing the GM is to say that you haven't done a good enough drafting and good enough job drafting and developing, then do you want him being the one making the call this week for a very important decision on the number one pick? So I think there's maybe something to be said for that as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, but when you said that you think maybe the decisions have been made already, so it's not that impactful, is it possible that they actually want in this final week somebody to get in and make better decisions and didn't want him to have the final call?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that is the reason for it. You know, I think this is more about the performance on the field and the overall state of things. But yeah, there's maybe a little symbolism in there to suggest that they want this next pick, and it's a big one, they want the people who are going to be here in the future being the ones who make that call. And again, it may be that whoever they decide to pick, and my guess is it's Ethan Holliday, the high schooler from Oklahoma and brother of Jackson Holliday and son of Matt Holliday.
Right.
My guess would be that they were all already in agreement on that anyway, so it may not have made a big difference. Or even if they hadn't really sat down and decided who it was going to be, they may have had consent, you know, ultimately had consensus on it anyway. So I don't know that it changes that much. But I think there's some symbolism, for sure, in the idea of saying, we don't want to have the person who we think we're going to be letting go anyways be the one making that call, or at least speaking for the organization on that draft pick.
All right. Before we get to the reason it hasn't been good enough and sort of, you know, parsing out some of the blame and a blame pie, if you will, I want you to just, because we've talked about him many, many times over the years, and there have been moments in which you have said and others have said Mike Rizzo is among the best general managers and maybe among the most underrated or unheralded general managers in the game. Where has he been on the list of general managers we could say the last six seasons since the World Series, which has been a disaster, but just recently here over the last two or three years, and maybe going back to the trade of Soto.
Clearly, that was a huge success for him and a move that nobody ever wanted to have to make. But if you were going to take that huge leap, you cannot ask to get a better return than they got. You've now got three of the five prospects they got back have now been all-stars, two of them just named yesterday. By the way, Juan Soto, not an all-star this year. James Wood, Mackenzie Gore are. A little bit of symbolism there as well. So certainly that part of it. His trade record is as good as anybody you're ever going to find. Trey Turner, Doug Pfister, I'm losing track of all the names over the years. I mean, he did a tremendous job on trades. Now, more recently, as the rebuild began, obviously he was not given the financial resources that he used to have when the team was contending every year. And that's a huge hindrance. But the money that he was given, especially this past winter, when it felt like there was some pressure to put a better product on the field, to turn that corner and say,
right,
maybe we're not ready to contend yet, but we're going to be a better team that can compete and challenge a .500 record. The money that he was given, he spent it on Trevor Williams, Michael Soroka, Josh Bell, Jorge Lopez, Lucas Sims, Colin Poche, Shinosuke Ogasawara, who made his debut yesterday and was down 4-0, five batters in. Now, that's not a huge layout for any of those guys, but the funding that he was allowed to spend, he didn't spend it wisely. And I think you have to point to that, of course. The drafting and developing, I do think it's gotten better in more recent years, and they made changes to their scouting department. So that's the kind of thing that takes years till you really know how it's worked out. But as I told you, they haven't had any success there over a long period of time. And that was obviously a big problem.
Talking to Mark Zuckerman from Masson, what about Davey Martinez? Was he a good manager the last few years or not?
I think he tried to do the best he could with what he was given. And again, he's hamstrung with a roster that was not up to what it should have been. And I don't think Dusty Baker or Davey Johnson or Frank Robinson or anyone else you could have put in the job was going to turn this roster into a winning team. Now, that said, could they have played a better brand of baseball? Absolutely. Defense has been an issue for several years now, and you've seen it not get better. Base running has been a huge issue for several years, not getting better. Situational hitting, particularly from a handful of guys who would come up in spots where they needed to have a good approach at the plate, and it did not appear that they could do that. That's a problem. And so while there's only so much that a manager can do, and I think when we spoke last time, I said, you know, his whole line about it's not on the coaches, it's always on the players. There is some truth to that. By the same token, a manager and a coach and a coaching staff, their job is to get the most out of their players to help make them better players. And in a lot of the cases, they have not become better. So I think there's fair criticism to give there as well. This team wasn't ready to win yet, no. But I think the messaging probably got a little stale over time, and the lack of improvement from players as they started to have more experience at this level, I think was pretty telling.
They both got fired yesterday. Was there a scenario in which Mike Rizzo stays if he doesn't decide to go down with the ship, so to speak, with the guy that he hired in Davey Martinez? Was that part of why he also got let go? Or was this just, you know, a combined decision that the Lerners made? They're both out.
You know, I don't have the detail on that one yet. I know there's some speculation out there about, you know, was Rizzo refusing to fire his manager, and then that led to his being fired as well. I don't know if that's true or not. My hunch is that it's more of a combined decision. And as I said, you had both of them who had contract options that had to be picked up here this month. And so if you're ownership, it's a hard sell to try to say that either of them should have been picked up right now. Now, I believe you could have said, we're going to wait till the end of the year and then evaluate where things are at and then make our decisions. But once they decided, no, we're not picking up the options, I could also understand why they would say, it's time to move on now. Let's start that whole process and you know, not wait until October to do that. So I think it's a joint package. I felt all along that a managerial change was more likely in season and a GM change is more likely after the season, but if you've already made the call and in your own mind you know that you're ready to do something different, I guess go ahead and do it now.
Barry Zwerluga got a quote, a text message from Mike that read, quote, "The sun will come up tomorrow. That's the job. I had a great run. Navigated that ownership group for almost 20 years, closed quote. Is it common knowledge around the sport that navigating the Lerners' ownership is not the easiest thing to do?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think anybody was really surprised by that. But what I'll tell you is that when Rizzo finally texted me back early this morning, he sent me the exact same thing, except the last line was changed to "proud of what we did here." So yeah. I think he finally realized, all right, I got that one off my chest. I'm going to, you know, try to take the high road now beyond that. But, yeah, I think everybody locally and all around the baseball world understands how difficult it is to work for the Lerner family. And it's probably true of a lot of ownership groups out there. That's always going to be something you have to navigate. This one may be even more difficult than others because of their process for doing things, how slow they are, how it's a larger group of people deciding. It's not just one person deciding things. Now, I will say this. Mike Rizzo, and you know him, can butt heads with anybody. He also can be fiercely loyal and appreciative of everybody that he works with. And because I've seen it, managers that he's fired over the years, players he's let go, when he sees them again years later, when they reconnect, there's always a big hug. They reminisce about good times. I think he thinks of this like family. You have your good moments, your bad moments, but you love each other in the end. I am sure that whenever it is down the road that he crosses paths with members of the Lerner family again, they're going to remember good things. This isn't like they were always at each other's throats, and now he's finally like airing his dirty laundry. It's nothing like that. It's heat of the moment, upset about being fired, but I think he genuinely appreciates the opportunities that they gave him, and in the long run, we'll remember a lot more of the good things they did together than how it ended.
I mean, I asked that question in part. I mean, we all understand that locally, but getting a feel for what everybody around the league thinks, because I wonder if Rizzo gets hired because people, like they did with our football franchise for many, many years, said, well, I mean, that place is just different from, you can't get it done there with that ownership group. Will they view Rizzo that way? Will he get a job?
I think they will certainly view that aspect of it for sure. Now, I think the thing that's going to be challenging for him is, number one, he's 64 years old.
Right.
And number two is that his approach to being a GM is an old school approach that is not very common in Major League Baseball today. Now, there are still some others out there, and maybe there'd be some owners and organizations that believe that that's the way to run. But for the most part, when you're hiring a GM these days, you're hiring a young guy, often not from a scouting background, but from a business background, an Ivy League type who is all into analytics. That's not who Mike Rizzo is. Now, he made a lot of strides over the years in this stuff and probably deserves more credit than he got for his views on those kind of things. But that will be a little bit of a tough sell, and you're going to have to find the right owner and the right team that is willing to go with more of that old school approach with him if he has to get another GM job.
We're talking to Mark Zuckerman. You said at the very beginning in one of your answers, the bottom line is it hasn't been good enough. And so my question is, why hasn't it been good enough from, using three buckets, the manager, the general manager, and ownership? How would you, sort of slice up the blame pie from post-2019? You and I have talked a lot about, the Nats really getting a tough break with the pandemic. And a lot of that may have been, responsible for the lack of success in 2020 and 2021, and the lack of, what they would have had in new revenue, being able to celebrate that in a normal way. But why hasn't it been good enough? Sort of give me the reasons why pie chart. Ownership, general manager, manager.
Well, I think they're all included in it. I don't think anybody is not to blame. But
you've made that clear with Rizzo's, just drafting and developing, certainly.
Yeah, exactly. But I think ownership is probably the largest slice. I don't know that it's the full 50%, but it's the largest slice, followed by the GM and probably followed by the manager after that. From an ownership standpoint, yes, they are not in the same financial position that they used to be, and there are reasons that were out of their control that happened. However, I think most people understood that when you're going to tear down a roster and you're going to rebuild and start over, you're not going to be investing in the team at the major league level for a few years. Okay. But once they did start to bring up these prospects and had some genuine optimism, I think, going into this past offseason, that felt like the time, not just to me, to almost everybody in the organization, to say, okay, it's time to start to reinvest now in the product and to supplement the young talent we have with legitimate veteran talent. Maybe you don't have to go all in like you did, when they were competing for the World Series, but you need to give them more resources to do these things, as well as just all the other stuff that goes on in an organization, not just major league payroll, but all the other, areas of this. And they have not done that yet. Now, maybe they believe that their long-term approach needs to be more like the Tampa Bay Rays. That's a discouraging thought for a lot of people, if that's what it's going to be. But they have not acted like the kind of bigger market club that we think they probably should be. And that was difficult for everyone. Now, on the GM side, yes, better drafting, better developing, better uses of the finances that you were given to sign players. And on the manager side, yeah, better job of getting the most out of your players. I mean, Davey was a tremendous communicator, tremendous leader, He's a genuinely good human being in so many ways, and that's going to be hard to replace. But there are things that the next manager can be better at, and coaching staff, not just manager, at working on those little details, making players better, getting the most out of them. And I think that's a challenge for everyone. They all have to be better, and the entire organization, they all have to be better if this thing is actually going to turn around.
It always starts at the top, though. So do you think it will improve? And let me take a step back. How much has the will we or won't we be able to sell the team, you know, sort of state of flux impacted the last couple of years in particular?
Well, I think that's been the most frustrating thing for everyone is what is the plan? You know, they have said publicly that they're not looking to sell the team anymore. And okay, that's fine. But then you need to show everyone with your actions that that is actually true and that you're not just sitting around waiting in case Ted Leonsis or somebody else does come through with the offer that you're looking for. And if really the goal for them, whether it's to keep owning the team and try to win again, or if it's to raise the value of the franchise so that they can ultimately sell it, well, you've got to spend money to make money. You know, if you're not getting, say, $2.5 billion right now being offered to you, how are you going to get there? You have to have a better product on the field. And the only way to do that is to invest in it. And so I think that's really where they're at a crossroads. And so many people over the last few years have been sitting around saying, what is the plan? Are you in? Are you out?
Right.
And not just with your words, but show us with your actions. Whatever it is, either way, people will accept what that is. But they've kind of been stuck in the middle here. It felt like they were stuck in the mud, not doing anything. Maybe these moves are a sign they are ready to do something, but they've got a lot to prove, I think, to a lot of people now.
Yeah, because that will obviously impact what's next, right? Like, is this an attractive job working for the learners for the next general manager or general manager candidates? Will they view Washington's availability and opening to be attractive enough?
If I'm interviewing for the GM job in the coming months, I have a lot of questions for the people I'm interviewing with. And I need to know, what is your vision? What is your short-term plan? What is your long-term plan? What kind of resources am I going to get? Are you in this for the long haul? And the Lerner family had better have good answers ready to go. Whatever they are, they better be prepared for that, because this should be an attractive job. There should be some very qualified, whether up-and-coming or even experienced baseball executives who would see the talent that's already in place, the potential for the organization, and want the job. But you have to know going in what you're getting into. And I think those are some huge questions that the ownership family has to be able to address in a satisfactory way.
Yeah, and I wonder, Mark, and I'm asking you this, are they connected enough? Are they self-aware enough to know that this job, they're going to be interviewed as much as they're going to be interviewing the candidate, and how they'll deal with that?
I hope they know that. It's a great question, though. And here's something to keep in mind. They've never actually hired a GM. You know, they inherited
right, because he was on Bowden's staff.
Yeah, and they hired Rizzo, but Stan Kasten was really in charge of the day-to-day
right.
operations back then. He had a lot of experience. Hired Rizzo. You know, Stan really led the search for the permanent GM, and they ultimately decided to retain Rizzo and elevate him to that job. But the ownership family really has never had to go through this. And so this is uncharted waters, and you hope over nearly two decades of owning the team that they've learned some things about how to do this. But we don't really know. And I think it's a fascinating question of how they will approach this and how confident is everyone in their decision-making abilities. This is the most important hire they will have ever made in so many ways. And they're doing it at a time when there's a lot of increased pressure and scrutiny than maybe there was, you know, two decades ago when this whole thing was starting up.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong. You know, while their major businesses have taken a hit in the last several years, they are still among the top two, three, four, five wealthiest owners in baseball, correct? In terms of...
Yeah, I think personal wealth, yes, yes. I mean, there's debate over how successful financially the franchise is
right.
and whether they're turning a profit or not, and we'll never know the answer to that. But, you know, there are other things going on right now that you would think should put them in a better financial position. They just finally sold their jersey patch. There's been talk of them selling stadium naming rights at some point. And we know the Masson deal at the end of the year, they have the right to now negotiate for the first time ever, a TV deal. So there should be revenue coming in, and everybody wants to know, how are you going to apply that to what we actually see as a product on the field?
You know, this part of our conversation applies to players, too, in the coming years, you know, and how they view the organization. And ownership's going to have to put ego a little bit to the side until they prove, as you said, that they're not operating like a smaller market team.
100%. And, you know, we've got a ways to go until they get there. But James Wood, Mackenzie Gore, C.J. Abrams, do you want to sign them? Do you want them to want to play
right
here? Do you... If you do decide, yes, we're going back in on spending on free agents, well, you've now got to convince guys that they want to come here again. It was a very attractive place from 2012 to 2019, and you had some top free agents want to come here, but we're kind of back where they were prior to all that, when they had to overpay Jason Worth to come here. And so, yeah, there's a lot of selling that needs to be done to a lot of people on why the Washington Nationals are a place you want to come to and why you believe this franchise can get back to being the large market successful franchise that it was for 8 years. It's a very different look right now, and I think the fear that a lot of people would have is that they may never get back to that. They may try to operate this like the Pittsburgh Pirates or the Tampa Bay Rays, and not that you can't have some success doing that, but it's a very different animal and a very different approach than they've done in the past.
Yeah, the other part too, Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, is that they have paid players in the past. I mean, it started with Worth, but eventually there were, you know, players like Max Scherzer, you know, and others that they paid. But they've never paid, at least in the initial contract eras of Mike Rizzo, even the follow-up contract negotiations, and managers, they've never paid GMs and managers anywhere near the top of the market, right?
Not at the outset. And I do think this is interesting,
yeah,
too. You know, Davey Martinez had several extensions over the years, and so he built himself up to being one of the higher paid managers in baseball. And for Rizzo, was one of the highest paid executives. Now, do you go into this process and say, we're willing to spend what we were spending on these guys, on the new GM and new manager? If so, you're talking about a very different kind of pool of candidates than if you're saying, we're going to go into this and look for first timers who we can, you know, bring in on lower end deals, and maybe someday they work their way up to more than that, but we're going to start at the bottom. That's a fascinating question that we have to see how they're going to approach that.
All right, two more and we'll wrap it up. Thank you so much for doing this. Your memory of all of these years, can you point to a major disagreement over a player or a manager between Rizzo and the Lerners at any point? Were there ever knockdown dragouts over players?
Over players, maybe less so. I'm sure there were free agents that Mike Rizzo wanted to sign. You know, I'm sure he wanted more money to try to re-sign Bryce Harper and Juan Soto and not have to offer deferrals and those kinds of things. I think probably more so on the managerial front. I mean, Mike Rizzo wanted to retain Dusty Baker. That was not his decision to let him go. That was a big back and forth between them that ultimately ownership won out on, and other managers that they had to deal with in the past as well. I do think that there were a lot of times over there. I mean, Mike would even joke at times about how, you know, how many times he threatened to quit if ownership didn't let him do X or Y or whatever it was. And in some cases, they went ahead and let him do it in the end, and he was able to convince them. And sometimes they weren't, and he never did quit on them. So there was plenty of butting of heads over the years over those things. But I think he also understood and respected the hierarchy there. And ultimately, they own the team and they get to make the decision. He is a strong-willed, very opinionated man, and he's going to give his voice to it and tell them what he thinks should be done. But ultimately, he had to, you know, adhere to whatever they told him was going to be the case. I mean, he had to be the public voice of this team for a very long time,
yeah,
and take a lot of bullets on their behalf that maybe he didn't deserve. But that was part of the job, and I think he understood that was the assignment.
Wasn't Bud Black a big disagreement?
Yeah, so that was they had decided on Bud Black as the manager to replace Matt Williams, and had told Black that you're our guy, and that all started leaking out that he was the choice, and that all happened before they'd actually negotiated a contract. the learners offered Bud Black one guaranteed year with an option, and he said, hang on a second, I'm an experienced manager. I don't take an offer like that. And so he backed away from it, and that's how they wound up with Dusty Baker instead, who did get a good deal, maybe because they were embarrassed at how that all went down. But, yeah, it was a good sign of the negotiating process and how ownership could step in and say, okay, yes, we know who you want to hire as your manager. Now we'll take care of the contract stuff. And no, actually that blew up on them.
All right. What's next? Give me your prediction.
Well, we're going to find out today who the interim manager is. My guess is it's just an in-house, you know, either the bench coach, Miguel Cairo, who's kind of one of Davey's guys. So it would be a little strange for that to be the case. Maybe it's the AAA manager, Matt Lecroy, or Randy Knorr, who's worked in the organization for a very long time and is well-respected. Mike DiBartolo is going to be the interim GM the rest of the year. Really what this is now kind of a lame duck session for the rest of the year. Now, there are things they can try to do to set themselves up, and maybe whoever has those jobs can do a good enough job to earn them on a full-time basis. But really, I think now we're looking ahead to the offseason and how dramatic of changes is going to be. Do they go clean house fully? You know, everybody in the front office is a Mike Rizzo guy. Everybody on the coaching staff is a Davey Martinez guy. Are you starting all over in all of those, or are you trying to maintain some kind of continuity? I think that's the biggest question now over the next few months.
Five playoff appearances over an eight-year period where I think they won more games than any team in the bigs except for the Dodgers. That seems like so long ago now.
It does, unfortunately. It was a great run, no doubt. It culminated with a World Series. And I think when it's all said and done, the dust settles, that's what we're going to remember more than how this all ended.
I agree with that. Thank you for doing this. I appreciate it. I know you're busy today. I'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah, Mark Zuckerman, everybody. Follow him on X on Twitter, at Mark Zuckerman. He and Galdi do a podcast called the Nats Chat Podcast. I'm sure they've got a new episode out, so go listen to that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
There's something special in these stitches. Because sewn into this fabric is all that was once good in Washington.
And I want you to know that each one of you has a small piece of this trophy today.
It's the grit and the glory. It's a city brought together with a spirit that made steel shake and opponents quake. It's three Lombardies. Earned, not given. This isn't just a uniform. It's a reminder of who we've always been. Because history doesn't fade. It fuels the future. It's the same fight, same cry, same city behind us. We wear the past like armor, but we fight for what's next.
It's the first time I've heard it. That is the video that went with the announcement today of the alt uniforms for the upcoming season. They are, minus the logo on the helmet, they are what I have always referred to as the team's championship uniforms. Good morning, everybody. I bet we could do uniforms for 3 hours, but we're not going to do uniforms for 3 hours, but we are going to talk about uniforms today. Mike Rizzo was on with the Junkies last hour. You'll hear some of that. If you missed it live, we'll play some of that back for you. Barry's Verluga was on my podcast with me yesterday. He had some really interesting thoughts about why the Nats are where they are and what they should do next. All of that on the show and more today. No tennis talk today, although I am paying attention to and will pay attention to Ben Shelton's effort today against Jannik Sinner in the quarterfinals of Wimbledon. Ben Shelton could be the next American star and maybe the U.S.'s first major Grand Slam winner in 22 years. That's possible. I'm not expecting it, but I think he's going to win a major or two in the coming years and become a big-time star in this country, too, where we don't care about tennis as much as the rest of the world does. Good morning, everybody. We knew that the unveiling of the alt uniforms for this coming season would take place today. The team put it out. It is, you know, what we've talked about for many, many months. It is a throwback to the threads that will make us feel like we're watching our team again. That's the best way I can put it. For three seasons, you know, 23, 24, and 25, I have felt, and I know many of you have felt, like an expansion team landed in town, and the passion was certainly disconnected in many ways. You know, whether it's permanently disconnected or not, we'll find out. Certainly, last year's team made great progress in roping a lot of people back in. This will help. It's not the, you know, end-all be-all for many of you. I understand that. The name is the most important thing. But without the name and without the look, man, it felt detached. It just did for the last three seasons. Now, they're only going to wear these uniforms in three games this year. Now, Max, I asked you this right before the show started because they put this press release out just moments ago, and it hit my inbox, and I was reading from it, and they're planning on wearing these Super Bowl-era uniforms for three games. They are the new alternate uniforms. They're going to wear them in week 9 against Seattle, week 13 against Denver, and then on Christmas Day against the Cowboys. I thought, and by the way, all of those games, if you didn't know, are primetime games. Seattle is a Sunday night game, at least as of now. It could always be flexed. Sunday night, November 2nd. The Denver game is Sunday night, November 30th. That is Thanksgiving weekend. And then the Dallas game is Christmas Day, a 1 o'clock kick out in Landover. I thought that teams could wear their alt uniforms up to 4 times per year.
So, excuse me, you are right. It was reported April 1st, 2025, on Monday at the annual league meetings, the league informed NFL team owners that their clubs could wear throwback or alternate jerseys up to 4 times in the 17-game regular season. That's up from the previous 3. So, assuming that there are, I mean, obviously we know that they're going to be wearing these white alternates for 3 games, I have a feeling that we will probably see the black uniforms make an appearance at least one point during the season, but that might be the only time we see.
Okay, so you think there is going to be another alt uniform for one other game?
I think the black uniforms.
And by the way, I would think that obviously they would be the black. That's been the alt uniform. Are you allowed to have more than one alt?
I'm not 100% sure. I think you can't, because I mean, their teams have different combinations all the time, but that's obviously different from an alternate uniform.
It's from their core uniform.
So
they're permanent.
So, I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, you can wear white, you know, they obviously could wear burgundy on burgundy or whatever that color was. They could wear white on white. They could wear white on burgundy. They could wear burgundy on white. You can always do that with your current permanent uniform. You know, that's got to be laid out before the season starts. You've got to announce what you're going to wear at home before the season starts, and then the teams that are traveling to that team then know what to wear well in advance. This happens before the season, but we don't know for sure whether or not you're allowed two alts. If you are allowed two alts, it's very possible that Washington will wear those black uniforms for a fourth game, or maybe this is just it. Maybe this is the alt uniform. I'm going to read from the press release, which was just sent. I'm going to read it to you right now. Washington Commanders announced new Super Bowl-era uniforms and helmet for 2025 season. Just so you know, the helmet is the helmet with the W on it. Now, the color of the helmet looks very much like the color of the championship uniform helmet without the logo. There are better people to describe the uniform, but for those of you who haven't seen it and you're just listening, think Super Bowl uniforms from 82, 87, 91, the uniform that they wore forever, white at home, burgundy pants, same colors, almost, I mean, the picture reflects something that's almost exact of what they wore during their championship era at home. And so that's what it is. Here's the press release from the team. On the 93rd anniversary of the inception of the franchise, the Washington Commanders have announced new Super Bowl-era uniforms and helmet honoring some of the greatest teams in the franchise's history. The uniform will debut on November 2nd when the team hosts Seattle on Sunday Night Football. The team will return to the historic threads during Week 13 as they welcome the Denver Broncos to Northwest Stadium on Sunday, November 30th, and again on Christmas Day when they host the Cowboys on Netflix. And here is a quote from the new team president, Mark Klaus, who, by the way, I give Josh Harris and company a lot of credit. They did not trot Mark Klaus out in front of the public and make him one of the faces of the franchise. I've said this many times before. By the way, I've said it to them, both in the current iteration and the old iteration. Nobody knows anybody but the owner, the general manager, the coach, and the coaching staff, and the players. We don't necessarily, as fans, give a rat's ass about who's in business development. And this team, of course, we knew who the PR people were. We knew who the team president was, etc. Mark Klaus, we talked about his resume. It is impressive. And from people that I know that have had conversations with him, very impressive. So here is, I think, with respect to the football team, okay, this might be the first quote we've had from him since he was hired in March. Quote, "We are excited to celebrate Washington's incredible history with these iconic Super Bowl-era uniforms this season. Ever since Josh Harris and our ownership group acquired the team back in 2023, they've placed great value in finding ways to connect the past and present and honor those that made the burgundy and gold what it is today. These uniforms recognize the most successful era of our franchise, one that reflects a culture of excellence and encompasses many historical moments and special memories amongst our fan base. Our coaches, players, and the entire organization could not be more excited to celebrate our team's legacy while creating new memories in these uniforms this season." And then the rest of the press release, and it's not that long. "The uniform design draws inspiration from an era that saw the team win 3 Super Bowls and 4 NFC championships under the leadership of Coach Joe Gibbs and featured many iconic legends. The uniform's latest rendition has been intricately designed to pay tribute to the club's storied past while also appealing to a new generation of fans. Cut for modern performance standards, the Super Bowl-era uniform mimics that of the one worn for all 3 Super Bowl wins during the 80s and 90s. The white jersey is complemented by burgundy numbers outlined in gold on the front, back, and shoulder pads, as well as burgundy letters outlined in gold on each player's nameplate and burgundy and gold stripes on the sleeves. Burgundy pants are accompanied by white and gold stripes, and white socks are enhanced by burgundy and gold striping. The helmet features the iconic gold face mask and striping pattern worn for all 3 Super Bowl wins, with the addition of the current logo, which would be the W logo. Officially licensed Super Bowl era jerseys will be available for purchase in early September. Beginning on July 9th, Fanatics will launch its Notify Me feature, which where fans can sign up to receive notifications as to when they are available. Okay, two things, maybe more, but let me just start with this. Number one, congratulations to ownership, to the front office, Mark Klaus, and everybody that was involved in this. I know and had shared with you back in the early fall of last year that the look of this team was important to ownership and important to not just Josh Harris and Mitchell Rales, who grew up with this team, and Mark Ein, who grew up with this team, but many of the other limited partners within ownership that either grew up rooting for the team or certainly understood the significance of the name and the branding to the fan base. They couldn't do anything, and we talked about this yesterday, and I'm going to talk about it again because, man, did you guys get after me yesterday, which is fine, about the old name. This is what they could do, and they did it well from my standpoint. I love this. Watching this team in this uniform will make me think that it's the team that I've rooted for my entire life. People laugh at things like that, but this is what's called branding attachment. And we were emotionally detached from the brand on February 2nd, 2022. And even before that, obviously, with the change of the name and the loss of the name in the summer of 2020. That is a real thing. And by the way, Mark Klaus knows this. He's worked in consumer goods his entire life. He understands branding. He understands emotional attachment and emotional detachment. And everything goes into emotional attachment. Name, uniforms, everything associated with branding, fight songs, etc. And this, to me, when I saw it, I'm like, I didn't know exactly what we were going to get. I told you going back to October, we were going to get something that resembled the old uniforms. To me, I couldn't have asked for anything more. I wanted the championship uniforms. I'm not against gold pants. That's a George Allen era thing that Bruce Allen brought back in 2010. You know, the gold pants, because when Bruce was, you know, here with his father and his family during the 70s, 71 to 77, they wore gold pants. They wore burgundy at home. They wore dark and, you know, burgundy on gold at home. And then Joe Gibbs changed that when he arrived in 1981. Washington then, I'll never forget it, the opening game of the 1981 season, RFK Stadium, the Cowboys are in town for, it was a 1 o'clock kick. It was not like one of those high-profile Cowboy-Redskin games. 1 o'clock kick, RFK Stadium. And the new coach, Joe Jackson Gibbs, trots out with his team wearing white jerseys at home with burgundy pants. They had never worn white at home prior to that, unless it was in the 30s and 40s. Okay, but in my lifetime, it was always dark at home. And what was great about that day is that the Cowboys wore blue uniforms in FedEx, in RFK for the first time, in Washington for the first time. The Eagles had made the Cowboys within the division wear their blues every once in a while. The Giants had done it. The Cardinals, who were in the division at the time, had done it. But Washington was much more traditional. They stuck with burgundy gold pants at home until through the Jack Pardee years in 78, 79, and 80. And then when Gibbs arrived, so did white at home, burgundy pants, and what happened over the next, you know, decade plus, three Super Bowls, four Super Bowl trips, and five NFC championship game appearances. And, you know, they would wear those white and burgundy on the road a lot because a lot of the teams they played wore dark at home. But they always ended up in their dark jerseys, which were burgundy tops and white pants on the road against the Cowboys, because back then the Cowboys only wore white at home. And they still do unless they've got an alt thing going on Thanksgiving or for another, you know, game. This, congratulations. You guys got this right. From my standpoint, very subjective thing, obviously. Very subjective. But from my standpoint, these three games, it's going to feel, you know, I won't love the full screen Chiron that says, you know, Commanders 14, Seahawks 3 at the end of the first quarter. I'm not going to like seeing that. I'm not going to like hearing touchdown Commanders. But at least it'll look like it used to look. So that's number one. Congrats to everybody out there that had anything to do with this. Mark Klaus, Josh Harris, Mitchell Rails, Mark Ein, everybody in ownership, everybody in marketing, everybody in merchandising, everybody that was consulted. Congratulations on this. Number two. This is what I told you last October when I had this, I think probably before anybody else had it, that they were going to go with the older look for alts in 25. And then I mentioned, and I'm going to mention it again now, I think this is the first step, and I was told this back in October, and I told all of you this back in October. I think this is the first step to something permanent. I don't know if that's in 2026. I don't know if it's in 2027, but I think that they understand branding, the importance of branding, the importance of what that attachment to the brand meant. They understand how it was disconnected in the summer of 2020, and then even more so by essentially two guys who came into town for a cup of coffee and knew nothing about our franchise and what they did in 2022. And this is, I think, going to be something that we will see. You know, part of what will probably drive that decision will be, you know, sales, merchandising, revenue, and, you know, what kind of season they have. Because I wish they could hold out that fourth appearance. Maybe they're holding out that fourth alt uniform for a playoff game, Max. Maybe they're holding it out for a playoff game. Are you allowed to do that?
You can. I think you can wear like alternate pants during the, because it was in the article. The secondary rule change is that teams can now wear their alternate pants in the playoffs. Previous teams could only wear pants from the primary section of the closet in the playoffs. So
right.
Pants, but so we might see more of the gold stripe, but we probably won't be seeing the white jerseys.
I'll tell you, seriously, I so wish in looking at this, obviously what I would wish for is that they could be the Redskins, but they can't. I so wish they were just the Washington football team right now. And these are the skins. That's what I'm looking at right here. All right, we got more to get to. I do want to hear from you, though. 301-230-0980. I love them. Kudos, props, congrats to everybody involved in this. I feel like, you know, it's indicative of, not that we haven't had examples of this already since they bought the team in the summer of 2023. We're coming up, by the way, we're 2 to 2.5 weeks away from the 2-year anniversary of the sale being finalized. We've had other examples, but I feel like it's just like finally, after 24, 25 years, there are people in the organization who get it, who understand it, who feel it. You know, on days like today, when you hear people say, I can't believe you guys make such a big deal, 9 times out of 10, those people have never felt it like we have before. So just ignore that. It's not important. They're entitled to their opinion. It's not important. Look, some people who have lived it and felt it may not care that much either, because they may have already checked out. I didn't know how I was going to feel when I saw it today. I knew it was coming at some point today. But it is definitely a passion starter, because I've been without great passion for a long time now. Still interested, still here talking about it every day, but without the level of passion that I had through, you know, 2019, 2020, certainly through 2019. I think, you know, we all know the feelings started to get chased away by the Snyder era. But how do you feel in seeing these things? I think they got it right. I think it's a really good sign, once again, that these people get it. Yeah, was I frustrated every single time Josh Harris came out and said, yeah, we're not talking about that. That's not a priority right now. You know, winning, you know, reconnecting with the community, the stadium, and all those things should have been priorities. But as I said, you know, during those days and weeks and months, these people are big boys. They can do more than one thing at the same time. And they were. And they were working on these things. They just couldn't, you know, come out and say anything until they, you know, had basically a really good opportunity to end up back on the RFK site. Now, as far as the name goes, that was still in flux. That was still in flux during the season last year. Trust me on that. That was not definitely, you know, not Redskins. Redskins has always been out. But in terms of changing the name, that was in play until they won 12 games and 2 road playoff games. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. If you've seen them, your thoughts on them. If you have, you know, I'm wondering why they're not wearing them for 4 games. That's what I'm wondering. Why not a 4th game? Why not maximize it? 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Opening day. At this moment, Every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Who's got the most to prove in 2025 on our football team? Can be a player. It can be a coach. Could be somebody in the front office. Could be ownership. Could be anybody associated with the organization. This is primarily for me a player thing, although I do have a coach that I have considered for my number one spot, the number one player on the team with something to prove. 301-230-0980. Who's your number one? And then I also want a runner-up. I'm going to give you my number one, and I'm going to give you my runner-up. I also have one, two, three, four, five others receiving votes. And I will save those unless, just to let people call in, because I don't want to steal anybody's thunder. Max has them as well. But 301-230-0980. Who's got the most to prove in 2025 in this organization, this team, this coaching staff? For me, number one's easy. I actually had sort of a debate with myself about number two, because I think there are a lot of possibilities. But number one is easy for me. The player in the organization on the team that has the most to prove in 2025 is the player they acquired at the trade deadline, Marshon Lattimore. He's my number one. Marshon Lattimore has not been healthy and played a full season since 2021. His last Pro Bowl season. He was in the moment in 21 and even for parts of 22 and 23 considered a top five-ish corner, cover corner in the NFL. But last year, he played just 9 out of the 17 games. In 2023, he missed 7 games. In 2022, he missed 10 games. His biggest issue has been availability. He has to prove that he can be available to this team for the majority, significant majority of the games. And then he's got to prove that he can play much better than the way he played after they acquired him, when he was getting torched on the regular by the likes of A.J. Brown and others. So Marshawn Lattimore, for me, is number one on the list of players and or coaches or anybody else in the organization that has something to prove. They didn't acquire Marshawn Lattimore to be, you know, a solid starting corner that they could rely on as an outside guy. They acquired him when they acquired him for what they acquired him for, to be a significant part of the end of season run, which they thought when they acquired him could include winning playoff games, plural, and maybe even getting to a Super Bowl. And you know what? They did, but without his help, for the most part. I'm not saying that every game he played in was a bad game last year. You know, he wasn't terrible in the game in the game against Tampa, right? That was the game that he was pretty decent in. Detroit, not terrible. Actually, Tampa, Mike Evans was the problem. Detroit was the game he actually played okay in. Mike Evans and A.J. Brown were a problem for him. And then he lost his cool in the NFC Championship game. He's got something to prove. That's why I would have not, you know, completely bailed on the voluntary activities. I know that that wasn't his thing in New Orleans, but don't really care. He's got something to prove here. He had proven something in New Orleans. He made four Pro Bowls in his first five seasons. He hasn't made one since, and he's barely been available at times. Marshawn Lattimore, number one on my list of players, coaches, or people in the organization that have something to prove, have the most to prove in 2025. I'll give you my runner-up in a second, but Max, who is your number one? Who's the winner on the list of players, coaches, or people in the organization that have the most to prove?
For me, coming into this year, I mean, we talked about the defensive line quite a bit, and especially towards the end of last season with us letting John Allen go. I think there's a lot of pressure that's going to be on Daron Payne this year. Because, like I said, he's kind of the only guy. Him and Johnny Newton, it's going to be down to them. I mean, we brought in Javon Kinlaw, Eddie Goldman, and guys like that. Sheldon Day is back. But Daron's got to be the guy kind of who's leading the charge on the defensive line this year. And there's been a lot of talk. Like Dan Quinn said, he had a great offseason. I've seen him popping up on all these lists, like guys to watch based on, you know, coaching and all that, their comments. But yeah, so Daron's kind of the one guy who I think it's going to be on, or it's going to be facing a lot of pressure this year. We've been talking about it all off season. I feel like this you would go to him before the season and be like, hey, act like it's a contract year, man, because we are evaluating every single option that we have with you. So I think Daron's kind of the guy who's going to be under a lot of pressure to perform at the beginning and throughout this season.
So I mentioned that for me, my number one is a runaway number one, Marshawn Lattimore. But my number two, my runner-up, that there were several in consideration. And Daron was one of those players. But he's not the one I chose for my runner-up. My runner-up is another player that is going to be Marshawn Lattimore, relatively new. This player, brand new. I think Deebo Samuel's the runner-up to Marshawn Lattimore on the most to prove in 2025 list. And I think for a lot of the same reasons that Lattimore has the most to prove. He has had an issue with being not necessarily available. He's been different. You know, with Deebo, he is tough as nails, and his injuries have been different than Lattimore's. Hamstrings are difficult, but you don't get 100% of Deebo Samuel every Sunday or Monday night of every season. He missed two games last year, but was on the injury report for six. Same with the year before. The year before that, he missed five games. So availability is huge for him. And look, he hasn't made the Pro Bowl since 2021. That was his last standout truly standout year. 1,405 pass receiving yards, 18.2 yards per reception, 6 touchdown catches, 8 rushing touchdowns and 365 yards, first team all pro. He hasn't sniffed anything like that since 2021. So similar to Lattimore, he's got something to prove. Now, he did have a good season in 2023. He had, 12 total touchdowns, 225 yards rushing, 892 passing on 60 catches. But last year wasn't a great year, and it wasn't a great year for the team either. I think Debo has a lot to prove. He is my runner-up on the most to prove list following my number one runaway, Marshawn Lattimore. Who's your runner-up to Daron Payne?
So my runner-up to Daron Payne, I'm kind of going with guys that we've talked about a lot over the and position groups that we've talked about a lot over the offseason, and this position is not going to be any a big surprise to anybody. It's going to be the running back room, and I'm going to go with Brian Robinson Jr. With the drafting of Bill Merritt, I think that they're. I understand it's a seventh round pick, and a lot of times those running backs don't really become anything. But at the same time, Brian Robinson had a pretty much a down year last year, getting upfield and breaking having that breakaway speed. Was a big thing. The physicality, he was running a little bit scared kind of towards the end of the season, and I know coaching staff had a good conversation with him about that. So this is going to be like a nut up or shut up year for B-Rob, and because there are going to be a lot of guys that are going to be fresh coming up in the draft next year. So I feel like that position is definitely going to be it's going to be of need coming into the offseason no matter what. But at the same time, if Brian Robinson can have one hell of a season, hopefully he can kind of keep himself in the rotation here or find himself a big deal somewhere else.
He's clearly on the list for me and others receiving votes. So you hit on two that I've gotten others receiving votes. We have two different answers here with our most approve and our runner-up on most approve. What do you guys think? I have three or four other names that I will handpick here if they don't come in with phone calls. But phone lines are now open. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Who in our football, on our football roster, coaching room, organization, who's got the most to prove in 2025? I want your answer right now at 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave. Welcome to the club.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.